We're going to look at the first chapter of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past, and the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, whom being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and the upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, when he bringeth him the first begotten into the world, he said, And let all the angels of God worship him. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? This scripture has been, some people attribute this to Luke, some attribute to Paul, but the point is, all glory and honor is given to Christ in the scripture. It starts out by saying, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past and the fathers by the prophets. God uses prophets all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament to show forth his word, to proclaim his word, not their own word, but his word. We see in Isaiah the foretelling of Christ in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We see Zechariah talking about a righteous branch that would come forth. We see many of the prophets are foretelling of Jesus Christ, that he would come and he would save his people from their sins. But it says, hath in his last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus Christ himself came in human flesh, born of a virgin. The latest heresy out there is supposedly the tomb of Christ has been found, his bones have been found. Well, if we can some way equate that Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, these folks say. Philosophy is, if they can say that Christ did not raise from the dead, then it pretty much annihilates all of Christianity and the doctrines of Christianity. It annihilates the divinity of Christ. It annihilates our hope of the resurrection. It makes God himself a fraud. It also upholds the false doctrine, and it is a doctrine, of evolution, that Jesus Christ isn't the creator. Um, But it says here, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Another place it says, in him we live and move and have our being. He upholds all things by the word of his power, and when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's ruling and reigning in heaven. His bones aren't in some tomb that somebody supposedly found. Okay? He is set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Remember when he showed himself to the disciples when he came to Thomas and said, thrust in your hand into my side. And he says here that he by himself purged our sins. By himself purged our sins. He didn't need anything of man. He didn't need man's free will. He didn't need man to let him in to their heart. God accomplished the work. Jesus Christ accomplished the work that he came here to do. By himself, he purged our sins. He didn't purge everyone's sins. He purged our sins, the ones that he came to die for. And he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God has put all things under Christ's feet. There's a lot of people that want to worship angels. The Catholic Church wants to not only worship and pray to angels, but pray to saints, and pray to Mary, and pray to idols, and pray to beads, and confess to priests. All of that is absolutely false worship. We are not commanded to pray to saints, or to pray to beads, to say the rosary, or to go to a priest to confess our sins. Jesus Christ by himself purged our sins. He's our high priest. He's the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He says, for unto which the angels said at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. You see here that we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in perfect union. This was a covenant before the foundation of the world. And now he's spoken to us in these last days by his Son, coming to this earth, dying on a cross, and by himself purging our sins. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Let's turn this around the other way. The angels are worshiping God. We're not to be worshiping angels. We are to be worshiping Jesus Christ. We are to be extolling his name, giving him all the glory and all these things. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? The angels do God's bidding. The angels are God's messengers. The angels are God's do whatever God bids them to do. They're created beings just like we're created beings. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Jesus Christ has always been and forever will be. It's true, he was born in Bethlehem through the virgin birth of Mary, but Jesus Christ has been forever. I mean, he came to this earth as a man. But Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He appeared many, many times to many people in the Old Testament. It says here, his throne is forever. It says, under the sun, thy throne, O God, is forever, the scepter of righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He did not sin. And that's why he could present himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And he took upon himself the sins of all of his people. And now, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. People try to say, well, you know, there's no proof that there's a creator. Well, Psalm says the heavens declare the glory of God, and firmly showeth his handiwork. Day to day, utter speech, and night to night, he showeth knowledge. Voices gone out through all the earth. Well, he's the one that laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens are the works of thy hands. So these people that are trying to say they found the burial place of Christ, they can now promote evolution or whatever they want to promote, the Big Bang Theory or any other ridiculous notion out there. But the Bible says that thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all these people who are promoting all these lies without the, just the evolution that we've evolved over millions and millions of years, and all these other things that people are coming up with to try to deny. Try to shake their fist in the face of Almighty God. God says, they shall perish. Thou shalt fold them up. They shall, in Isaiah it says that they are less than nothing. It says, but to which the angel said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Christ had enemies today. A lot of people want to deny that, you know, Christ has enemies. I want to try to say that we're all God's children. I want to deny evil. But we are not. All of God's creation are not his children. He's created two kinds of people in the world. He's created goats and he's created sheep. And he says, to which of the angels will I sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? The Bible says that he will make his enemies his footstool. And he also says that the angels are sent forth as ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. There were those that are predetermined before they were born that they would be heirs of salvation. Remember, he said, I have many people in this city. One time, look, those people were going to be heirs of salvation. Prior to them coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they were already heirs of salvation. It was predestinated that they would come to Christ. As many as ordained to eternal life will believe. God's put all things under Christ's feet. And he has it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bring many sons into glory, and make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And you know, in the second chapter of Hebrews, it goes on and says that the angels have not put into subjection the world to come. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him glory and honor, which set him over all the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. When that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Well, Stephen, when he was stoned, looked up into heaven and saw Christ stand at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ was counted more worthy, more glory than Moses. Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are. If we are one of God's sheep, if we get to the mission, who will ordain to eternal life? We are part of the household of faith. We are part of the remnant of God. We are part of the heirs of salvation. So what we need to remember this morning is we are faced with all of these lies in the media and the philosophies of men, with the Roman Catholic Church becoming stronger and stronger and joining with the other false churches. And you know, Billy Graham was told by the Pope, the last Pope, that he was one of them. And that is true. Billy Graham is one of the same with Roman Catholicism. And all of those who are joining Roman Catholic doctrine, trying to say that the Catholics are Christians, like we are Christians, how quickly they have forgotten that the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church persecuted and killed John Huss and many, many of the other early Christians, the Waldenses, the Lollards, the Albigenses, and through the Great Inquisitions. They were preaching another gospel then, and they're preaching another gospel now. They're preaching the gospel of lies, of worshiping idols, of praying to Mary, of praying to some beads. How many beads have I seen hang on people's mirrors in their cars? And I guess that when they're driving down the street, they want to grab those beads and say they're Holy Marys, trying to buy the time out of purgatory when they die. But all this is just ridiculous. Christ has died for his people. He's risen again. He's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And so all those who would like to join the ranks of Roman Catholicism and deny our only high priest and uphold the priesthood of man, the Catholic Church, and those who are praying to their patron saints, and those who are worshiping the doctrine of free will, are stealing the glory of God. You're stealing Jesus Christ's glory. You're saying Christ is not worthy to open the book. The Holy Roman Catholic Church is the one that's worthy to open the book. The priests, the pope, the bishops, the cardinals. All of this false religion is the one. Well, Paul says, as written, behold, I lay in Zion the stumbling stone, the rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you're believing on Jesus Christ as your only hope, if you believe that he is the only mediator between God and man, if you believe that he is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, you know, there's people that are ignorant of God's righteousness and are going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whosoever shall call upon Mary, patron saints, saying the rosary. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your sound went up and into all the world, and the words into the ends of the earth. And so, I have found them that sought me not. God has a group of those people who he has chosen before the foundation of the world. And every one of Christ's sheep will come to him. And all these others that are coming up against God's righteous Son, Jesus Christ, and trying to climb up another way, and trying to get into ecumenicalism, trying to say we're all God's sheep and all God's children, they will be destroyed. They will be folded up. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back, and she would not. She would not come under the authority of God. God said, don't look back. Don't look back to the things of this world. You know, the problem with so many people today is that they are looking to materialism, they're looking to other things as a satisfaction for this life, instead of looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. You know, the only hope that we have, an anchor of the soul, which is both steadfast and sure, is that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that he was given dominion by the Father over all things. And we need to remind ourselves that when we look around us and we see all the world religions coming together under one ecumenical umbrella, we need to come out from among that. We need to be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Have no part in it. And what we need to do is we need to look to Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, but all of our, you know, place our lives in his hands. We can't do that. We can't let Jesus into our heart. We can't do anything, but we will find ourselves resigned to the fact that he is the one that has all power. They're going to make war with this land. He, the Lamb, will overcome them. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. And those that are going to be with him are the ones that are called and chosen and faithful. Okay. And so, you know, they're going to make war. They're making war with the Lamb right now. They're coming against the God Almighty. They're making war against the Lamb and against His people. But He will prevail, and He will be victorious. He's already done the work. He's completed on the cross. He said it is finished. Father, we thank You for this word this morning, realizing that there are so many out there that would come against Christ, would come against Your complete work on the cross, would try to worship some other god, whether it be the god of materialism, the god of idols, the god of false worship, the priests and cardinals and bishops, and praying to saints, and praying to Mary, and praying the rosary, and worshiping the God of free will, and worshiping the gods of men, installing people who denied the covenant. I pray that You would help us to always look to You and realize that You're our only hope. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.